This is Dan Sheridan with CrossAndThrone.com. Welcome to another edition of Table Talk. This is number 3 in our series entitled Truth and Practice for Today. Now I'm going to read Ephesians 1 verses 3 to 6. This is a very literal translation. I read it last time, but it's good to read it again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every blessing that can be called spiritual in heavenly places in Christ. These blessings are in accord with the fact that he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and unblemished before him in love, having predestinated us unto son-placing through Christ Jesus to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, and this leads to the applause of the glory of his grace, in which he hath highly favored us in the Beloved. Last time we covered verse 3, Paul spoke well of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with unique blessings, spiritual blessings. These blessings will be enjoyed in a unique place in the heavenly places, and these blessings are in Christ. In verse 4, we read that these blessings are in harmony with a choice that God made. God chose the body of Christ in Christ before the overthrow of the world. Now, this phrase is unique in Scripture. Everywhere else, we read of a choice from the foundation of the world or from the overthrow of the world. But here we read before the foundation of the world, and this phrase is only used 3 times. First, in John 17, we read that Christ was loved before the foundation of the world. And second, in 1 Peter, we read that we are redeemed with precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world. And the third reference, obviously, is in Ephesians 1 verse 4. So when we compare the passage in John 17 and in 1 Peter 1, we see what is said of Christ is also said of the body of Christ in Ephesians. Christ was loved and unblemished before the foundation of the world. And in Ephesians 1:4, we, the members of the body, are unblemished, and that is because of his love. Ephesians 1:4 reads that we should be holy and unblemished before him in love. That is why the passage reads that he chose us in him, in Christ, the object of his love. It is the will of the Father that we are holy and unblemished. This decision was made before we ever existed. Now we know that when we were born in this world, we were born sinners and we practice sin. So we are not holy and unblemished in ourselves. What the Father purposes, the Son accomplishes. In Ephesians 5:27, we read that Christ will present the body of Christ to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The Father planned it, and the Son carries it out. All of God's purposes in any dispensation will be accomplished by the Son. That is true for Israel, and it's true for the body of Christ or any other calling. Christ is the fullness of God. Now this phrase, before the overthrow of the world, is unique to Paul. It means a great cataclysm, and this took place in Genesis 1 verse 2, where the earth became without form and void. In 2 Timothy 1:9, we read of another unique phrase, where Paul says, "Who did save us and did call us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, that was given to us in Christ Jesus before the times of the ages." In Titus 1:2, we read similarly that Paul's apostleship was based upon hope of life age-during, or age-abiding, which God, who doth not lie, did promise before times of ages. So before the overthrow of the world and before the times of the ages takes us back to at least Genesis 1:2. And when we examine this out, we will see that our choice is connected with a time before sin ever came into the world, and therefore God's choice was not influenced by sin. And also that this choice is connected with a sphere of blessing that was once occupied by celestial beings. As Israel replaced the Canaanites, the body of Christ will replace the beings that once held that sphere. I'll let you work on that one for a while. So God chose the members of the body of Christ earlier than any other calling. God chose us to be holy. Now, the word holy is not a word that should conjure up visions of stained glass and incense. Whatever holy means, it must be a wonderful thing, a beautiful thing. Notice how Paul uses the word in 1 Thessalonians 3, 12-13, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do towards you, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." What was necessary to establish us unblameable in holiness, according to Paul? Now notice it doesn't say that we need to be holy. We are holy already. But what makes us unblameable in holiness? Love to fellow believers and to all mankind. Holy is a family atmosphere word. You know, I like to think about a Thomas Kincaid painting. You ever seen those? Ever seen the one where you see a house next to a creek with mountains in the background and snow is everywhere? But when you look at the house, you see the light on and it's warm inside. I imagine a camera getting closer to the house and focusing on the window to peek inside. And then I see a husband and a wife on a couch drinking hot chocolate, and the kids are on the floor playing a board game. There is laughter and love in this household, though it's freezing cold outside. And the home is also a refuge for those outside and the needy. Now that is holiness. That's how Paul describes it. So it has nothing to do with churches or stained glass. It's practical. We're holy in Christ positionally. And how we become unblameable in holiness is by living out the truths in love. Now the word unblemished brings to mind the offerings in the Old Testament. The burnt offering had to be examined to make sure that there were no blemishes in it. If there was a single blemish, it was unacceptable. The burnt offering was a type of Christ. See Leviticus 1. He was perfect within and without, and he was perfect in the sight of God. And that is what we are in Christ. And what motivated God to do this? Love. All that we are and all that is ours in Christ was because of love. In Deuteronomy 7 verses 6 through 8, we read this regarding Israel. "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any other people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." Notice that Israel was holy and chosen. They were a special people above all that are upon the face of the earth. And why? Because they were the biggest and best? Why does God say he loved them? He loved them because he loved them, it says. We call that circular reasoning. God loved them just because, not because they were lovely. God loves us not because we did something special. All of the motives are in God's own heart. As Israel was a special people above all other nations, we, members of the body of Christ, are special among the celestials. We are heaven's aristocracy. Think about that. Why? Because we're the biggest and best? No, but because God chose us in his love. Now, this phrase "in love" is used 5 times in Ephesians. Look up each one of the references on your own. First, in Ephesians 1:4, it is the Father's motive, in love. Second, in Ephesians 3:17, the believers are to be rooted and grounded in love. In Ephesians 4:2, we are told to bear with each other in love. In Ephesians 4:15, we are to speak the truth in love. In Ephesians 4:17, the purpose of ministry is to build each other up in love. And finally, in Ephesians 5:2, we are told to walk in love. Notice the first and last references. The Father's motive is our motive. He chose us in love, and we walk in love. We are to imitate our Father. Now may the members of the body of Christ who have such a glorious calling imitate their Father and not only believe the truth, but practice it in harmony with God's calling for today. This is Dan Sheridan, your brother in that blessed hope, at crossandthrone.com.